Channel Radio. Great music and talk.
The Venues and Events Expo Southeast at the Kent Event Centre, Detling, on Thursday, 31st of May. A one-day exhibition for event professionals, venue finders, PAs, VAs and business owners who want to connect with amazing venues and great suppliers for their events. Whether you are organising a business event, meeting, seminar, conference, workshop, team building or a corporate party, you will find everything you need in one place. We have a variety of talks from industry experts and a series of masterclasses including team building, well-being and much more. To find out more and to book your free place, visit www.venueseventsexpo.co.uk.
ZC Live, bringing a digital one-day event to Kent with Zoe Cairns. ZC Live. Register for your free place. Visit zcsocialmedia.com.
Jobsinkent.com, the quick and simple way to advertise your job vacancies in Kent, with prices from just £99 per job per month. Visit Kent's largest job site, jobsinkent.com.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker show here on channelradio.co.uk/2 in association with bizradio.co.uk on Tuesday, the 15th of May. With me, Paul Andrews, and my co-host, the lovely Bird on a Bike.
All right.
Yeah.
Good.
What an interesting topic that was.
I tell you, we keep going.
Yeah.
There's you got so your pennies worth, didn't you?
Yeah. Well, absolutely. We're having Andrew back. We might even give him his own show, actually.
I think we should.
Yeah. I'm more than happy to come back.
Yeah, because
with you co-hosting, probably.
Yeah, yeah. Well, once I've got all my questions answered, I don't need any more, do I?
Oh, my days.
Yeah. But no, it's a fascinating topic, isn't it?
So...
And we've had loads of people tweeting in about things.
What are they tweeting? What are they saying?
Most of them are photographers who are going...
well done, guys.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Going, I hate royalty-free photographs and they should be banned. You've got that school of thought for a start. Mm. And then you've got one or two people. Anthony Jones was asking to clarify... what the law is, but I think we did anyway while we were talking there, that says the photographer owns the copyright.
Yeah.
And that there's not a lot of ambiguity in that, really, is there? If you took the photo, you own it.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Cool. But they don't like royalty-free ones. They really don't. Cool. Good. What have you got?
I have Looking for Superheroes to run in support of young people in Kent. Local charities, the Kenwood Trust and You Can Youth Cancer Support have joined forces and are inviting people to take part in the first Kent Superhero Run. Here, it's a 5K run. You can do it, Mr. Andrews.
Who's you? Me?
Yeah, I'll train you. So this is at Yalding on Sunday the 8th of July. Here, we've got loads of time. 10 a.m. You can enter just £8 for an adult, £5 for a child under 16. And you need to be running as a superhero. Runners can dress up or simply wear their mask in support of their own hero. It gets better better.
What do you want me to go as? Batwoman?
You could be we could go as Batman and Robin.
We could.
Let's do it. It'd be hilarious. Or you could wear my new cycling apparel.
I could wear Bird's clothes on a run.
Oh, come on. That's comedy effect everywhere, isn't it?
Raise a lot of money for charity.
Yeah. It is. Come on, let's do it, Batman and Robin. When
is it?
It's the 8th of July. We've got loads of time to train you. Look, you've always wanted to do this.
You're a nurse, right?
Yeah.
You're a trained nurse, right?
I was. I'm not anymore.
I know. Well, I need you to up your skill level. Look, if you're going to get me running anywhere, love, you're going to be giving me CPR at some point.
Two things that happened there. The finger and the love came out. It was look, love. All right. So you need to go to www. Which means?
World Wide Web.
kenwoodtrust.org.uk and let me know, tweet and see if you want to see Mr. Andrews train for this event with
Absolutely.
Me.
Yeah, go on.
Shall I carry on?
No, I've got one here.
Good, you carry on then.
I've got a tweet from the lovely Sally Laker, Sally for Cakes. She makes the most amazing cakes, Sally. Fanto lemon drizzle cake, I highly recommend it. she says, Vanilla Web Bird on a Bike, please can you mention FC Tankerton and Lizzie F01? Their Twitter handles. It's the Tankerton Football Club's golf event and fundraising auction on Friday the 8th of June at Boughton Golf Club. Space is still available if anyone would like to book. It's for a fantastic cause. Now, Sally and Lizzie are highly involved with Tankton Football Club. They run the deaf football team there for kids. And this is a charity event raising money on the 8th of June. And I'm just trying to see if there's a link where you can register to attend. I can't find it, but it's at the Boughton Golf Club, which is Boughton in Kent. If you're not a golfer, you can still participate because you can go to the dinner and fundraising support event in the evening. So do the best thing is to follow Sally, Sally 4 Cakes, Sally the number 4 Cakes, and you can find out all about it and support FC Tankerton and the Young People's Deaf Football Team.
Well, this is one that I'm really excited about because this is Venues and Events Expo South East on Thursday the 31st of May at Kent Event Centre at Detling. What now with the finger?
I just need to tell you that I'm not emceeing on
I know
Thursday.
You're not.
I've been told off about
I know
that.
You have. Okay. She's already messaged me.
Yeah, okay.
And she's not happy about
no,
it.
No, I know.
Good. So this is the first event of its kind in the South East, a one-day exhibition for event professionals, PAs, VAs and business owners who want to connect with amazing venues and great suppliers for events. So whether you're organising a business event, meeting, seminar, conference, workshop, team building or a corporate party, you will find everything you need in one place. I'm there. You're there.
I'm there. Yeah.
I'm there.
Do you know what I'm doing?
You're not emceeing, surely.
No, I am, but only one part of it.
I'll ask her. Yeah, I'll check. Because you're just getting a little bit carried away with all this emceeing malarkey.
Guess what bit I'm doing?
I know the VAs and PAs.
No, I'm doing the silent seminar.
No, you're not. How interesting.
Yeah, yeah.
Which makes sense.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
So anyway, as somebody who puts on events like Release Your Brilliance, it is so important to go there to see what you're missing out, what you need to do, the little things that make all the difference, that add that extra value. That really, for me, I'm going to go. Well, I'm going because I've been asked to go. But anyway, I would have been going anyway because there are some things until you keep putting on the events and events that you know that you're missing, you can go there and find it all. So this is www. Which is venueseventsexpo.co.uk. Get yourself there.
It's a free event to attend.
How much is it?
It's free to attend.
No way.
Yeah, it is. It's free to attend. There's over 100 stands there. And it's not just venues. There are all kinds of organisations. There are training organisations. There's loads of workshops going on. There's an organisation that do team building. And part of the team building is they make toys and furniture for gorillas. And part of the event is that they're going to be making some gorilla furniture and some gorilla toys, that, which are going to go down to Port Lim after they've made it for the gorillas to have some fun with. And then there's baristas and there's wine tasting. There's all kinds of things going on there. So it's worth going to. You don't believe me, do you? Gorilla toys.
I thought the gorillas were going to be the barista. Sorry,
No, there's that too. The gorillas are going to learn management and leadership. Yeah. And the rest of them are going to learn how to build gorilla toys. Absolutely. Get there.
I'm there.
It's 27th of May.
It's not.
No.
It's the 31st of May.
It is.
She'll kill you now.
I was just chesting.
No, you weren't at all.
It's the 31st of May. What's on the 27th of May then?
No idea, but you're dead now anyway. Yeah, that's it. Go. Yeah.
31st of May at the Detling Showground at the Kent Events Centre.
That's correct. Good recovery.
Yeah, nice one.
Yeah.
Business Awards 2018 for the Sevenoaks Business Awards are now open. If you'd like to nominate someone or indeed nominate yourself for one of the many awards there, it's if you email admin.tp@sevenoakstown.gov.uk. And the awards are taking place in September. Do you know how I know that?
Because you're emceeing.
Because I'm emceeing.
Excellent.
Yeah, exactly.
Excellent. Are you emceeing the Rob Knox Film Festival?
No.
Oh, I tell you what I'm doing at the Rob Knox Film Festival?
Go on,
Thank you very much.
Are you emceeing it, bud?
No, I'm not. I'm actually giving an award, Natalie, at the Rob Knox Film Festival.
Are you?
I'm superstar. Yes. Did you know that?
What, that you're a superstar?
Yeah.
Of course.
I keep saying to people, do you know who I am? I'm loving it.
While we're talking about that, I backed a film some years ago on Kickstarter, and they just won an award, a Squirrel Island. It was an animated film called Squirrel Island. It's really brilliant.
What's it about?
Squirrels.
On an island.
On an island. Obviously. And I just won an award.
Hold on a minute, because Andrew would say, don't call it Squirrel Island.
Can we trademark that?
Because it shouldn't be relevant, so we should call it Monkey Island and it's about squirrels. Yeah. That's a better trademark, surely, Andrew.
Yeah, the trouble is you might run into problems. The office might say it's a bit deceptive, you see, if it's called Monkey Island, it's all about squirrels.
That's a good point, isn't it?
Yeah, so you didn't think of that, did you?
Well, I didn't know.
We do now.
Yeah. Exactly.
Right, anyway, let's crack on. Grow Kent, which we mentioned earlier because Andrew is one of the keynote speakers at the next Grow Kent Maidstone and Medway Business Show at the Mercure Maidstone Great Danes Hotel, that's at Hollingbourne, on the 26th of June, Tuesday the 26th of June, and that's at the Great Danes Hotel. If you want to find out more about it and to book your place on it, the best place to go is kentbusinessradio.co.uk and click on the business tab, and it is right there for you to find out all about it and to book your space.
Cool.
Good. Go on.
Oh, you want me again?
Yeah.
Right, the summer. There are three unmissable family events. I get really excited when we talk about aeroplanes. So this is at Headcorn Aerodrome, the Battle of Britain Air Show, 30th and the 1st of July. After a huge success last year's event, the spectacular Battle of Britain Air Show will be returning. That's the Saturday, the 30th of June and Sunday, the 1st. You then got Combined Ops Military and Air Show, and that's on the 18th and 19th of August. So you can sort that out for the children. And the Southern Modern Show, which is on the 8th and 9th of September. They've gone back to school, unfortunately, then, but it's on a Saturday and Sunday. And this is Maidstone Model Flying Club, and their show will feature a stunning array of model aircrafts, helicopters, ships, tanks, and other vehicles.
Cool.
That's I good. Do love an air show.
Do you?
I do. I think it's because I'm from Plymouth, and you know you stand on, I don't know, have you ever been to Plymouth?
Yeah.
So you've got beautiful Plymouth Hoe, and you stand on the hoe, and then they always go right in front of you, and you know the Harriers, they used to bow, and, and used to have the red arrows go across. It's just remarkable.
Yep.
So I get quite excited with an air show.
Well, I have to say, Amanda and I went to Biggin Hill last summer, and we interviewed the Spitfire pilots there, and we had a fabulous day at the Battle of Britain Museum, and with all the Spitfire squadrons and the Spitfire pilots there. It was absolutely brilliant. Really was good, and a real eye opener.
Yeah,
they actually let me sit in a Battle of Britain Spitfire, which was a real eye opener about how difficult it was.
Can you imagine it?
I mean, the you could barely move. You know, I used to own a motor racing team, and racing cars is bad enough. There's no room in a single seat a race car, but there was even less room in a Spitfire. Mm. I'm quite tall and fairly big. My head was rammed up against the canopy roof, and I couldn't move my arms at all. Basically, the only thing you could do is hold the steering column, and the biggest bit of the steering column is the fire button. Yeah, and that's it. It's basically just a gun platform.
Yeah, it's
just a platform for shooting things. You couldn't really do anything else with it. It was unbelievable, fantastic piece of engineering, though, considering it's over 80 years old. Yeah, brilliant, good stuff. Tell you what.
What?
It's about time we talk to these three, really,
They've
don't you think?
They've been very quiet.
They've been so patient, haven't
it's
they?
It's been crazy.
Denise Wilton's fallen asleep.
I was just going to say, Denise, wait, I need to do a shout out. So, Denise from Mile and Focus, we're unleashed.
Yeah, they're on. So, let me tell you who we got here. We got the absolutely gorgeous Natalie Benaig. Hi, Natalie.
Hello, thank you, Paul.
From Kent Creative Arts.
Kent Creative. That's a good start, isn't it?
Yeah.
Kent Creative.
You've been the arts bit.
You've just been told off in French.
Yeah, obviously. Kent Creative.
That's what you're always asking for, is to be told off in French.
But your Twitter handle's got an art on the end. Isn't it?
Yeah. Kent Creative. No, that's it. Sorry about that.
Yeah. Kent Creative.
Next.
Yeah. And then we got Mark Jennings. The Google expert.
Good afternoon.
And the lovely Sian Murphy.
Hello, good afternoon, everybody.
And Sian and Mark are from Storm Chasers Digital. So let's start off with Natalie and Kent Creative.
Well done. You understand quickly. I'm really proud of you.
Yeah. Apart from my French, because obviously you've worked on that for a long time, Natalie, and I haven't really got any better, have I? Anyway, let's be sensible for a moment. Why don't you tell us what it is you do, and a bit about you and your background?
Okay. Okay, so I started Can Creative in 2009, and you're right, at the time it was Can Creative Arts. It's been rebranded. Yeah. Oh, yeah. So what I do is I'm very keen on the value of arts and culture for us, for, I mean, everyone, really, individual organizations and businesses. So I'm working on promoting, celebrating, encouraging, supporting those who work in art and culture in Kent.
Okay. A couple of things. I'm preaching to the converted because I know you know this, but the creative industries in the UK are currently worth £80 billion to the UK economy. It is not an insignificant part of everything that we do. But it's interesting, though, isn't it? Because different, depending on who you talk to, different people have a different view of what you mean by creative arts and culture. So why don't you tell me what your definition of that is? What, who you include in those kind of things?
Well, the creative sector is really what was defined by the DCMS, so that's the Department of Culture and Media and Sport, bizarrely.
Yeah. Yeah.
So they include everything creative, which also includes video games, which are doing really, really well in the sector. So sometimes the numbers are looks really good because video games are included.
Yeah.
But it includes everything to do with design, everything that's artistic, creative. But the art and culture is more the bit of the creative sector that I focus on.
Okay. Well, and let's get rid of the other bit to start with, because creativity now is something that takes place more and more and more in our business lives because of the digital environment, the website environment where we have graphics and all kinds of video and animation and all that kind of stuff, which I guess is what's expanded the whole definition, as you say. Mm-hmm. But let's move it back to the bit that you love most, which is art and culture in and of itself. That's a difficult area, isn't it? Because it requires money. Mm-hmm. And it's not always easy. I'm going to give you an example of something. I've just got an email from someone. As a lot of you know, I own a place in Canterbury called Fruitworks. And Fruitworks is a hot desking and community workspace in a Victorian warehouse. And a couple of years ago, we expanded the warehouse considerably. We quintupled the space. And when we acquired the building next door, obviously we had an empty building for a while Jamie, my son, was girding his loins to refurbish it. And the local art college came to us and said, oh, your building's empty. Could we run an art exhibition there? Which we happily did, and we ran a very successful art exhibition there for a week. We had over 200 people a day coming in and viewing it and all the rest of it. Lovely, nice. I just got an email from them again saying, could we do that again? And I go, no. And we can't do it again because the building's not empty. And they're very disappointed, understandably. But, of course, you don't often have empty buildings hanging around where you can, on an ad hoc basis, put on an art exhibition. Which is actually a shame, is it not?
Hmm?
But that's one of the problems is that the cost of space for things like that is one of the most expensive things you can do, and of course there's no real way of monetizing that.
Well, I guess there are ways. If you look,
see, I'll teed you up there. I'll teed you up, Natalie.
Because I mean, I strongly believe as well that. There is a contradiction in the mind of artists and a discomfort with business and money.
Yeah,
and I still today do not know which word I could use.
Mm.
But I think that if you're an artist, you can earn your living, and it is very motivating to earn your living out of what you like most.
Mm-hmm.
You know? But you can if you treat your practice as a business.
Mm.
And that means having to do a bit of things that maybe we don't enjoy and thinking of earning some money.
I think you just hit the nail on the head. And owning a radio station and having some offspring that are in the music business, one of the interesting things is, and I think you just nailed it, is that quite often creative people want to do what they want to do, not what the market wants them to do. And whilst that's okay, it's nice to do what you want to do. Yeah. If you want to actually make a living, sometimes you have to sell things that people want to buy.
Yeah.
And that's very true about music. You know, I know people that are very talented musicians, but they make music for their own benefit, not because it's commercially viable.
But some people can't do it, or they don't want to do it, and they earn their money somewhere else, which could be part of their plan. That's absolutely fine.
Yeah, absolutely.
So some people go teaching, or they do something else. They have another job 2 or 3 days a week that is subsidizing the rest of their practice, which is absolutely fine. I mean, it's a perfectly comfortable situation. But some people want to spend all their time working on their practice. Now, if, as you say, if what people want is what you do, that's perfect. Otherwise, you probably have to. I mean, I always give an example of a ceramicist who does big pots, but he sells mugs.
I like how she did that.
Yeah, but he doesn't want to make mugs. But that's, and he's been encouraged, well, maybe you could do some mugs, spend a bit of your time making the mugs that sells, and with the money you can do that.
And has he done that? Has he?
You know, I'll have to ask. I'll check on him.
Because I do understand what you're saying, that, you know, artistic integrity is everything. If you know, you have a feeling for something and you want to do it, that's great. But I agree with you. As long as you're fully aware that if what you're doing isn't commercial, then you have to do something else to make a living as well.
Yeah. And some people don't need to earn a living, which is even better.
Yeah, sure.
No, some people. I mean, some people have. You know,
why are we all looking at Mark and Sharp?
But it's possible. That's what I'm saying.
I want to kind of throw something in there, which may lead us into talking more about some of the other things that we're going to talk about later. Back in the day, many years ago, a lot of artists had patrons.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that is a rich benefactor that liked what they did and therefore supported them whilst they did it.
Yeah.
Now, in your experience, is that something that still happens?
Oh, yes, it does, definitely.
Yeah.
I know people who have, wealthy people who want to put their money into something they think is worthwhile. They want to encourage people who do good work, which they like.
Right.
And they want to help. I know some.
Okay, cool.
And patrons would be for individual artists, and there is one in Faversham, that, exactly. And also for art organizations.
Right.
We have patrons. They like what we do.
Okay.
And they support us. But that takes me on to an interesting issue. If you don't mind, I would like to...
No. I was teeing you up then.
The whole thing about the money is also that I have contradictory views about art funding. Because it had educated and trained people in thinking that art should be free.
Yeah.
And some of it should be, I won't go into that part, but maybe not everything. And what I can see now is many people don't want to pay for what is artistic because it's free. So when it's not, we won't do it. We can get something else free somewhere else. That is difficult for artists to then come out and then charge because, you know, the competition between free and chargeable is difficult.
I think that's a really, really, really important point that you made. And it's a transferable point to other areas of business as well, like charities and stuff like that.
To be honest, I have to give so much free content away. Yeah. I'm a content creator. I have to give so much away. You're encouraged to give everything. It's the same, Natalie. Yeah. It really is.
Yeah.
And it you're quite right. But I just feel the more you give, it will return.
Yeah.
Well, with artists, historically, honestly, it's not... I mean, we are talking about photography.
Yeah.
Constantly, I'm asked, do you know a photographer, do you know an artist? 60, 70% of the time, people don't want to pay. They are looking for a professional and they don't want to pay.
Yeah.
Photography is probably on top. Mm. And photographers are approached, you know, you've got this picture, can we use it? And we'll give you a credit. Just because it's there sitting, people don't realize, you know, it's an asset. It's something that somebody owns and they make a living with this.
And
there are too many expectations about that.
Absolutely. Yeah. No, I totally agree. I totally agree. And funnily enough, I was thinking about this the other day. I can't remember in what context. It wasn't particularly about photographs, but this applies to photographs as well. I know. Well, I was thinking about articles and it drives me nuts. Talking about this free stuff on social media, you see someone that references an article that someone's written. You think, "Oh, that's interesting. I'll read that." And you go, and it's behind a paywall. Okay, point one. But normally, the paywall is: do you want to sign up to my publication for a year? No, I just want to read that damn article. Is what I want to read. And it's a bit the same with photographs. Yeah, I think what we need to develop, the crucial thing to develop now, are micropayments. I think that's the crucial thing to develop, is a micropayment that says, look, can I use your photograph in a one-off once? And they go, yes, yeah, pound or whatever. And the same with reading articles. I don't want to subscribe to your entire publication for a year. I want to read that article, and I'm happy to pay a small amount of money to read that article, but I don't want to subscribe 50 quid to read stuff I don't want to read.
And the thing is, potentially, it's so simple to do.
If we talk about photography, any photographer can do that. They can decide what their price is. But it's the same with music. How many times do you talk to musicians who are asked to play for free?
Yeah, absolutely.
Why would I play for free? It's expected, particularly from artists and creative, that they do what they do for free, more than in other fields.
Music's an interesting one as well, though, because owning a radio station, we get inundated with music. People send us thousands of tracks, and I mean this, thousands of tracks a week, and say, will you play our tracks? Yeah. And, you know, one, we have to sit there and listen to some of it and go, oh, God, you know. But in there, within there, is some really, really fabulous music. Okay, and we are asked to play that for free because in return they're getting exposure for it, obviously.
Yeah, that's slightly different.
Which is kind of slightly different, but so there's an implied contract there.
But if they do it, because they want to be heard, they want to be seen, exactly. So they contact people asking to be...
So if you take that as a general principle, though, that's where the dichotomy lies, isn't it? That if you're trying to build your name as a photographer or an artist or a musician or whatever, you want to put your name in the public domain so that eventually you become well enough known that someone will pay you $500,000 to saw a cow in half or whatever. Yeah.
But the mindset of the artist has been geared that way because of art funding, where everything is free. So people are used.
Yeah.
I mean, most of what the Arts Council funds, not just them, but public money for the arts usually leads to free events or very cheap. So it doesn't reflect the value of what artists and creatives do.
And I think that's the key thing. That's the key thing, isn't it? It is that if anything has value, it has value, And art and creativity has a huge amount of value because of its uniqueness.
But the people who make the value is the marketplace.
Yeah.
So the marketplace dictate the value, not us as businesses. That's the way it is.
Absolutely, but that's Natalie's point, is that somebody has stepped into the marketplace and bought it for you, effectively.
Yeah, so my way of showing this value, and you might want to ask, and maybe I'm anticipating here, but there is a value, there is a talent, and there is a lot in Kent, and the big organisations are bringing a lot back into the economy. I've got numbers. Mm. I mean, people like Turner Contemporary, the Marlowe Theatre, they are generating millions in Kent of business because they employ people locally. They need printers, they need marketing people, they need suppliers. So the value I want to attach is to businesses in Kent who can tap into this audience of creative and people who engage with art and culture to promote their own business, and we go into circle all benefiting from each other because there is value and you want to be connected to the value.
And there definitely is value.
And there is value.
I think you hit the nail on the head though, Natalie, is that value has been sidetracked.
Yeah. Wow.
By people kind of trying to do the right thing, but actually not doing the right thing.
So my own kind of mission, and I have to say challenge and struggle, is that I do not want Kent Creative to rely on public money.
Yeah.
So I've got very little on one-off project, and I want to generate the income from partnerships, sponsorships, and commercial activities, selling. The other thing is with public money, when artists... get public money to run projects or do their work, it is most of the time required that they don't make a profit. So this is not encouraging sustainability or just self-sufficiency.
Absolutely.
And it should be encouraged.
It's crazy. Yeah, it's crazy stuff. But that is what you find often.
Yeah.
And you find that with a lot of public funding of lots of things. You know, there's lots of public funds slashing around for businesses as long as you're a not-for-profit business. Okay, fair enough. What's the point then?
Yeah, where's the business in that?
Yeah. How can you move forward?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I don't want to run out of time, and we've got lots to talk about still. We've still got a bit of time, but I want to make sure that we cover all the bases that we're going to cover.
We might not.
We might.
I'm just suggesting I can talk a lot.
I'm looking over there as well.
She's about to explode.
She's going all red, waiting to throw a fourpence worth in. Absolutely. So let's look at some of the things that you're doing in Kent Creative and some of the partnerships you're starting to build, especially with people like Mark and Sean here. And talk us through what you're doing with that and how that's starting to unfold.
Okay, I promise I'll be brief to give you some time, Sean and Mark. I run different projects. One that is now every 2 years, which is the Kent Creative Awards. Mm. I wouldn't go into detail. I've lost my speed. No, that's it. I also run a community photography project called A Year in the Life Project 365, which we are doing this year in Faversham.
Yep.
They're the main. I'll start with this because they involve other people.
Yep.
It's all about celebrating a place or talent or creative and artistic, and all of them entirely rely on sponsorship.
Right.
Not entirely, sorry. There is a bit of grants for the 365.
Right.
Now, the idea is that through this project, we access an audience of people who we can describe fairly easily. They are people interested in art and culture. We've done different surveys, so we know who they are. Mm. And we offer this as a platform for businesses to tap into and promote their business. But the difference is that it is not advertising. That is, in my view, is a passive way of marketing your business. We offer active features. So I get onto Storm Chaser is a very good example because they actually work on it as well. So they get what they put in. So what we do, I'll give examples. Because of other projects we run, like Kent Creative Connect, which is some kind of networking group for artists and creatives, we have a podcast, previously Kent Creative Show, on this very channel, which will come back in the future.
Good.
We have a silent movie evening night at the Gulbenkian every year. We have a designer and maker market at Turner Contemporary in Christmas. We link all of that for our sponsors, whichever project they're involved in.
Right.
So what sponsors get through what we do is access to the audience, for example, by hosting an event if they have a venue. So we run the event where they are. We give them speaking opportunities, either to deliver a lecture at a networking event, or it could be to open up a show and do a presentation in front of the audience. The important thing is that sponsors, they want to get in front of real people,
yep,
show their face and who is behind the business, and they want to promote what they do, their products, services, etc. We also, what we do, going back to photography, and that's one of the reasons why I'm not keen on royalty-free, is that I think photography, imagery, creativity is powerful to give a unique image to a business. So you photography could be customized. It looks much better for a business if it's personalized to you and focused on you. So what we do is we commission photographers to go on the premise of our sponsors, and they take personalized pictures of the people in their venue doing their work, and we promote that on social media, on our website, and in different platforms. So we personalize photography that they can use for their marketing. It's included.
Okay. Well, let's thank you for that.
It's just a teeny bit of what we offer.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I want to come back on some of that because I know you reasonably well, Natalie, and I'll come back to that because there's some stuff I want to input. But I want to hear from Sean and Mark from their side of it as partners in this, how they see it, what they get out of it, why they do it. So we've got with us Sean Murphy and Mark Jennings from Storm Chasers Digital. And Sean is also the host of the Women in Business show on Thursdays at 11 o'clock. 11 till 12.
Yes.
On this very channel, channelradio.co.uk/T. But Sean, Mark, you know, what inspired you to get involved in this? What do you get from it? Why do you do it?
Okay, we are not artists in any way, shape or form. We do consider ourselves sometimes to be creatives because we're problem solvers.
Right, okay.
And I met Natalie, basically, I don't know how to say this really, I was doing some networking and, you know, as businesses very often do when they're sort of starting up their businesses, and I was going along to networking and I was meeting pretty much the same sort of people. I was meeting solicitors and business coaches and all of that sort of thing. And I thought, actually, I just need to talk with other people. I didn't go along to one of Natalie's events to actually get clients. I just went along to have different conversations with different people.
Yeah.
And along I went. And I can't remember how long ago that was. It was probably about three years ago, wasn't it?
At least.
And I started then doing some talking about websites and some of the pitfalls that you can fall into, and a partnership developed.
Right.
What we get out of it is, as one of Natalie's sponsors, did you want to say something, Mark?
he wouldn't dare.
This is always a problem. He always wants to butt in. What we get out of it is a few things, really. I think firstly it's the collaboration, and I do want to mention something that we're collaborating on together. If it's okay, I want to do a bit of a plug,
and also to
what are our sponsors, which I think now sort of shows how this is growing and it's turning into a supportive business network. So we're launching on June 20th. I've got it written down here. Look, it's the Creative Digital Big Chat, of which I'm collaborating with Natalie about. It's up at Dragon Co-working, and we have now brought on two sponsors that are working with us on that. So we have a purely digital sponsor who is Chris Verbo and Helen Fuchs from V&V Guidance Hub, and basically they do IT training on security and Office. You can see I'm reading this, I have no idea what it means. Office 365. So they're purely digital. We have an artist who is going to be sponsoring the wine, actually.
I've met artists like that before. don't they have a particular name?
So we have the artist, and she's a pure artist.
She's a what?
I'm
artist?
Sure she is.
She's a P artist. Okay,
Charlie Venega Garrett from Robin Knoll Glass Creation. She's a fused glass artist. And we also have a media partner on board.
It's not easy to say, is it?
It's not. It's not. You can tell it's gone. It's not gone past wine o'clock. We also have a media partner, who is Zoe Cairns from ZC Social Media. Cool. So we're all collaborating together to bring this in. And it's called the Big Chat because that's what it's going to be, a big chat.
Yeah.
But as part of it, we've got a couple of sort of unstructured discussions that people can take part in. One of them taps into something that Natalie was saying earlier, which is basically how do you get paid as an artist?
Yeah.
One of them is very much a digital sort of phrase, which is how do you control scope creep? And when I mention that, you don't know what that is?
No, go for it.
Oh, really? Okay, yeah. Scope creep is you're building a website, you're doing something along that, could be a little bit of software, and you get the phone call from the client and they go, can you just?
Oh, right, okay.
Yeah. Can you just? Yeah. And it's something that as...
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you get it.
Yeah.
So having this collaboration with Natalie is really something that's helped us bring this apart. I think a key thing, you know, Natalie sent up a guy, Kevin Ralph.
He's our official photographer. You know Kevin.
Bloaty Fish.
Yes, that's the only way that I can refer to him is Kevin Bloaty Fish. If you're on Twitter, that'll mean something for you. We would never have found Kevin. He came up to take some photos. He took some extraordinary photographs, which he's now working with us. But we have also passed him on to, we are referring him and we're using him with our clients.
Yeah.
So he's now got a commission through us as a result of this collaboration. We work with, we're also working on another project at the moment with a website for designers, the Salt, that we met through Creative.
Because it's what Sean is saying, what I encourage a lot, especially with sponsors, is this collaboration and linking. I actually absolutely adore creating connections between people.
I just want to tell the listeners something about Natalie that I think is really important. As a businessman, I get approached weekly from organisations asking me to sponsor things. And what they actually mean is, will you give me some money for nothing?
Pay and I'll stick a logo on a website.
Yeah.
Can I have a chat with you, Paul?
Yeah, you can chat, because I've always got a stock answer to the question. Because they don't give you anything in return of any value at all. So the only way that you would ever do that is philanthropically. That just went, I can't think of anything else to do with the money, so I'll give it to you. What I really love about what Natalie does and the way she goes about it is she thinks incredibly hard about how she can give you, as the sponsor and partner, value. And that makes all the difference in the world. Now, the empathy I have for Natalie is how do you stand out amongst all the other people asking for it when you know that you can deliver and a lot of others can't, but you're just talking the same language that says, will you sponsor this or will you support that? And everybody goes, everybody's got a stock answer to that question, which, I've already allocated my budget for the next 10 years, or no, we don't do that kind of thing. What they're saying is, do you know what? I don't give away free money. And they don't listen to the proposition really that you're putting up. It's hard to get your proposition out there.
I think lots of businesses are not really maybe brave enough in doing something differently, which surely is what marketing should be. Stormchaser, they got a network. They had people attending their workshops. You have great photos of Mark, which you didn't realise.
It actually goes a little bit deeper than that. So we've talked about the nice stuff. We get access to talent. And the other thing is we get perspective. But we've got clients as well. So, you know, if you're looking for some sort of hard business reason to do this, we have directly got clients, something we never expected to do. That's not why we did it, but we do.
Absolutely.
And one more thing, because we are launching, it's out, still being tested, but an online platform for art and culture event in Kent. There isn't For art and culture, you know, these key magic words in Kent. So it's called the Kent Creative Finder. So it's an online platform to look for events in all parts of Kent. It's not full of content yet, but we have collaborated together to put it on. And that's because we met through this sponsorship.
Well, the interesting thing here about what you guys are achieving, it seems to me, is you're building this interconnected network.
And
that's the thing that's kind of making it all work, because you're starting to tie things together and interconnect on things. Is that a fair kind of appraisal of where you're going with this?
Yeah, I think so, definitely. I think it's you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours all the way around, without a doubt.
Yeah.
Okay. It's also a sharing of different skills. So we are pure... You know, we work on WordPress. Basically, we do everything round the back, if you like, that you wouldn't normally see. There isn't particularly a creative element that we have in house. We now, you know, we have access to those people and a wealth of those people. But, you know, Natalie doesn't do the technical stuff particularly, but has the creative element. And so it's about bringing those two things together without actually having to employ somebody in your business.
Yeah.
And it's fun as well.
It is fun. Yeah, actually, it is. It's really, really good fun. All of the events that I go to, Kent Creative Arts, or the Kent, whatever it is now, Kent Creative Connect.
Kent Creative. Come on, Sean. Kent Creative.
I shouldn't. You know, those are the ones that I always do my best to get to, that I'm always happy to speak at. They're always really good fun, aren't they?
And the awards are, I mean, you sit on the jury panel because you're a sponsor, and it's good fun.
It is. And it's an honour for me because I know nothing about art.
There's some weirdos there as well, aren't there?
Yes, you were.
Real strange.
Now, I was lucky enough a couple of years ago to go along. I was a judge on the Kent Creative Awards, and I went along and also presented some of the awards. A fantastic time we had at Ashford School, and a really interesting event. And I think one of the things that you're alluding to here is that as a business, as a run-of-the-mill, ordinary business, as most of us are, you're actually mixing with people that you don't normally mix with. You're mixing with a different
huge
group
pool.
Of people.
But the very important point, it's actually crucial, unlike advertising, with sponsorship and this kind of partnership, sponsors need to take some form of action.
Yeah.
You can't just sit back and wait until things happen.
Oh, absolutely.
It's part of your work, yeah. And then you get things back. Yeah.
Absolutely, and you see that in so many things, and I can have a little bit of a rant about that with the radio. You know, we get sponsors of radio shows, and we give them a lot of exposure, but they don't do anything to capitalise on that exposure. They just ignore it and go, well, thank you, no, I really enjoyed it, we'll do it again. And you go, but why didn't you follow up with some of it, you know? Why don't you look at what you got here and move it on? And I think that's the beautiful thing that Mark and Sian have done here, is they haven't just gone, you know, here's some money, Natalie, you know, give us some artists to talk to or give us a platform to speak on. They've actually built a network out of this and have started to move it along in different ways. And I think that's the crucial thing, really.
I think the key to that is, I am going to let you get a word in edgeways. I'm not quite sure what you're going to say.
Tell me which one.
Yeah. That's it. You've had it. And that's your lot.
I think the thing for us is that we enjoy the people that we're working with. I think if we had just picked something sort of randomly and gone, I don't know, let's just sponsor that and see what happens, it wouldn't work the same. Yeah. You know, we really value the connections, the people, and just the good fun that we have. And that's it. And I think if you're going to be sponsoring something, it's got to be with somebody that you really like and respect, and absolutely, that you can actually have just a laugh with.
I interviewed you for the show again because you're a sponsor, and you met this, you know, it was with Ben Horner, who actually won the award, you know,
everything's linked.
And there was this actor, forgot his name, you absolutely fell in love with his voice.
It was amazing. Yes.
Not Brian Blessed.
It was very like Brian Blessed.
Yeah. Cool. Look, we could talk about this forever. Sadly, we're kind of running out of time. I can vouch.
Mark hasn't said his word.
He never got a word in.
What is my word? Quick.
I tell you what, if you know, you can tell people how they can book onto the Creative Digital Big Chat. Quick.
Oh, right. They can just go to stormchasersdigital.com, click on the link for events, and there you go.
Fantastic. Mark, thank you. That's probably twice
well
as
done,
much
Mark.
You got in there that you're normally allowed to get in, really, isn't it? Yeah, that's it. They just cut you off. Your mic's off. He's dead. He's gone. He's left.
You have to watch him.
I forgot to say something really important as well.
Yeah.
Because we run some events and we also are connected to other people running events, part of the sponsorship as a business is that you can entertain your clients and your potential clients and your stakeholders.
Yeah.
So, for instance, the Silent Movie Nights, which we're going to have at the Gulbenkian in September.
Where are they?
Silent Movie Nights.
Yeah, no, I've got that bit. Where is it?
Gulbenkian.
Gulbenkian
in Canterbury.
Canterbury.
I know where the Gulbenkian is.
It was a rubbish accent
that was putting me off.
She was saying it all sexy.
I didn't get that.
I don't think she was.
Where was it, Natalie?
You were hearing sexy.
It's in the cinema in Canterbury.
Yeah. The Gulbenkian. Yeah.
Canterbury.
That, you see, for instance, I think is a great opportunity for a business to invite people.
Yeah.
You get 20, 30 tickets because, you know, 10, 12 pounds each or something. We have a drink before, you can have a meal afterwards with these people who are in your business, you give them a good time and they will like you for that.
Absolutely. And the comparable thing to that are people that sponsor sporting events and stuff. You know, we have a hostility box. That's right, isn't it?
Yeah.
Possibly. Depends on the event.
So a very similar kind of approach to it.
But it works. It's a good marketing.
Absolutely.
It's a really
efficient. So if you're out there and you're in business and Natalie calls you, please listen to her because she's not...
You can call me.
Yeah, you're good. But she's not doing what so many people do, which is just asking you for money for the sake of it. There really is a big return to be had by partnering along with Kent Creative and what they're doing and the whole network that they're building. So do please do that. Listen, guys, we could have talked about this for a long time, but we're right at the end of the show now. Mark's already given us a call for the event that you've got going. Natalie, if people want to find out more about you and Kent Creative, what's your website?
Now you're going to laugh at that because the website is Kent Creative Arts.
I know that. I knew that already. I knew that. And your Twitter handle is Kent Creative Arts too.
Yeah, that, no S. Cause it doesn't
with no play. S. It's Kent Creative Art because you ran out of characters. Oh. I know. Cool. Good.
And otherwise, it's on your own feed.
It is. It is indeed.
This month because we're sponsoring, don't we?
Yeah, exactly. And It's also on the website, so the link to the website is on our website and will stay on the website forever. And as Natty says, currently they're sponsoring us, which is great. Yeah.
Fantastic.
Yeah, which is good stuff.
You preach.
Absolutely. Natalie, thank you so much for that. It's a pleasure, as always, to see you. Mark and Sean, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much. And thanks for Natalie for inviting us along.
And thank you both.
Yeah, so we're kind of at the end of the show now. I just want to wrap up a few things by reminding you that our sister show, the Business Bunker Extra Show, is on Friday at 11 till 12, presented by the lovely Amanda Flanders. And I'm not sure who the guest is. I think I know, but I don't know.
You're in trouble.
I am. But she hasn't told me who the guest is this week, so... if you're listening, Amanda, let me know who the guest is. But whoever, it will be someone interesting. Oh, I do know who her co-host is. It's a chap from the cybersecurity company, Richard Bell. And he's going to be co-hosting for the first time on the show this week. So 11 o'clock. And it is, in fact, Gareth Cairns, who's the guest from ZC Social Media.
How could you forget?
So how could I forget Gareth? I knew it was someone I knew. So Richard is co-hosting, and Gareth Cairns from ZC Social Media is on the Business Bunker Extra Show, 11 o'clock on Friday. So do check that out. Coming up here on Channel Radio 1 later, we have at 5 o'clock, we have the ladies' favourite, Mr. Craig Avery. He of the Stripy Socks. And then at 9 o'clock, we have Mr. James LaSalle with the World Music Show. James, for those of you that don't know, is the keyboard player with Cockney Rebel and has started a show with us just recently. And then at 11 o'clock, we finish off, as always, as we do on a Tuesday, with...
It's Club Culture with Boy George. One, two, three, get down!
Full drum beat and a squidgy bass, I give you Vanilla Ace, and it rhymes. That means I'm right on time. Welcome to Club Culture, where I control my very own dance universe. 1 hour or more of grooving delectables for your disco pleasure. I'm Boy George.
It's 1 hour of delectable, delicious dance music. It's Club Culture with Boy George on Channel Radio.
As always, on a Tuesday night at 11 o'clock, we finish off...
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Sorry about that. As always, on a Tuesday, we finish off with the glorious Mr. Boy George with the Club Culture Show at 11 o'clock. That's it. Thanks for joining us for another week. I'd like to say a huge thank you to my co-host, the lovely Bird on a Bike.
Thank you.
Sarah Ann Lucas, thank you so much.
Pleasure.
And our guest, Mr. Andrew Murch of Nucleus IP. Thank you, Andrew.
Thank you.
And the lovely Natalie Beneg of Kent Creative. And Mark Jennings and Sean Murphy of Storm Chasers Digital. Thank you all for joining the show.
Thank you,
both the listeners, for listening in. we do appreciate it. Thank you so much. We'll be back with another show next Tuesday. Listen to the Business Bunker Extra Show on Friday. Have a fabulous week. We'll see you soon. There's lots of things happening. Networkers Networking this Thursday. And then Venues and Events Expo on the 31st of May, and then on the 26th of June, Grow Kent. So we'll see you at one or all of those events. In the meantime, have a fabulous week, and we'll see you all soon.
Have a great time. Bye.
Bye for now.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye. Channel 2.